Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, we're going to be moving on this morning to verses 31 and 32. We're actually looking at two verses this morning. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. So we're looking here this morning at actually ear gate, aren't we? The ear and what we hear. The ear that heareth the reproof of life. And then the contrast of that, he that refuseth instruction. What does he despise? Does he despise the person? Or does he despise his own soul? What a contrast this is, he that heareth the reproof of life, as we see in verse 12 of the same chapter. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. What a difference this is. The scorner is not going to be ready to hear one that's going to reprove him, one that's going to try and instruct him. And he's not going to search that person out either. And why is that? Because we are naturally unteachable. We really don't, in and of ourselves, that old nature, we don't like to be told. We want to be the teller. We don't want to be on the receiving end. That's how we are by nature. We do not know, nor do we have a desire to know. But then comes the Lord. When the Lord invades a life, He gives humility, and then that unteachableness begins to yield. And spiritual light begins to pour in, and then and only then do we begin to learn the actual meaning of the words that were before only familiar to our ear. In other words, anyone can read these words that can read and that or that can hear. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Anyone can hear those words. But to hear them with the outward ear and not with the ear of the heart is two entirely different things. And it's when the Lord works in a life and works in the life and gives that person the ability to hear. Because if one is spiritually dead, what else are they? They're spiritually blind. They're spiritually deaf. They're spiritually unable to hear as they ought to hear or see as they ought to see. It's not just the sound of the words. Proverbs 6:23. Proverbs 6:23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." So not only are God's commandments like a lamp to us, and if we're in the dark, we need a lamp. We need light. And God's law is light. And there's that those three little words, reproofs of instruction. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. We are receiving reproofs and instruction from our very earliest days of being born. God's Word, the Bible, now becomes a welcome medicine. Before, the Bible was nothing more than a book that just sat somewhere, if you even had one. It was never looked at, it was never thought about, and it was certainly nothing about the words that were contained therein, which are God's most precious and holy words to us. Proverbs 15:5, our same chapter. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. If you are a young person, if you are a child, and isn't it interesting how that Paul just spoke on this very thing this morning in the opening reading? If you despise your father's instructions, the label that's stamped on you is a fool. You are a fool if you despise your father's instruction. And not only are you a fool, you hate your own soul. 12:18, Proverbs 12:18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health. To hear wise words. Wise words are not always the words that you want to receive. But there are those words that are best for us. Psalm 141, verse 5. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Let the righteous smite me. Let him reprove me. That's a kindness. When one reproves you, when one instructs you, it is a kindness. And it's a kindness to your very soul. The reproof and instruction of life is that which teaches us the true way of pleasing God, which is indeed the only life that's worth living. The ear, back to our verse in Proverbs 15, 31 and 32, the ear that's spoken of here in verse 31, and that heareth in verse 32, this is actually the person. It is a description of the person themselves. So in other words, this is one who attends to and actually profits when he receives these reproofs and instruction. When you are given instruction, is that on your mind? Is it on your mind that you are going to attend to these words and that you're actually going to profit from them? Isn't that what we want to do when we come here and sit under the preaching of the Word? That we leave here and profit from what we hear? If you don't profit from what you hear, is that my fault or is that your fault? And then, by these, he will be reckoned among the wise, and he will rejoice with such people. The Christian wants to be around those kind of people. People that have the wise words of the Scriptures. And they're going to rejoice to be around such people. Is there a difference between the things that you would do with the ungodly and the things that you would do with the godly? I think if there was ever a way that we could be hooked up with all of the monitors, the like when you're going to have an EKG, and then someone says to you, "Well, you're going to spend a few days with the ungodly over here, doing this or that or the other thing," and then it would be interesting to see what the heart's doing. And then you're told that you're going to be able to spend a few days with those of like mind and like heart. And I'd like to see what the heart is doing at that particular time. Where is our heart? Where is our heart's desire? It is to be with such people. Mr. Bridges says, this mode of receiving reproof, he says it's a test of principle. It's a test of your humility, of your sincerity, and of your self-knowledge. And it becomes either the exercise of those things or the defect of those graces when we receive reproof. So it is either brought out to our honor or it's brought out to our dishonor when we receive reproof. Because we're going to receive it one way or the other, aren't we? Beautiful indeed is the sight of a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Proverbs 25, verse 12. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Two people described in that verse. One, the wise reprover. If you're going to be the one that is reproving, it must be done with wisdom. It must be done with humility. It must be done with tenderness of heart. It must be done with sincerity. And it must be done in love. If you are the reprover, or the one being reproved, you want to have what? An obedient ear. An obedient ear. And it's described as what? An earring of gold, or an ornament of fine gold. It's something beautiful to behold. But so don't let that foolish pride get in the way and hinder all of that. Remember, it's not easy for that person that came to you in the first place to come to you. That's never an easy task, is it? Do you enjoy it? Is that something that you just can't wait to do? Is to go and maybe have to deal with a person about something? I think our brother Bill just spoke about something very similar to this just last week. We recently looked at a passage, and I want to look at it again. It's in 1 Samuel 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Only this time we're going to look at this in an entirely different light. And it's about David and it's about Abigail. First Samuel 25:23. And And when Abigail saw David, now remember, Abigail was going to David because of her evil husband Nabal and how he had treated David's men. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid." Abigail was taking a message to David. How was her presence before David? With great humility. She didn't come ranting and raving to David. She didn't come telling David how wrong he was. She came with great humility. This is a beautiful picture here. And then what did we see? David's response, 39. First of all, David's response was that in verse 32, "And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me." David was going to hearken to this woman's instruction that she had just given to David. And David recognized that it was the Lord that sent her unto him to receive that instruction. And how did David respond to all of this in the final analysis? He took that woman, which came to him to give him instruction, he took her to be his wife. What an honor that was. What a tremendous honor that was to Abigail. He put upon Abigail the highest confidence to take her to be his wife. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." Peter comes to Antioch. Paul is now going to withstand Peter face to face in front of the other men. He's going to rebuke Peter for his actions. What is it that we see of Peter which will follow in 2 Peter 3:15? Did Peter get in a huff? Was that the end of Paul and Peter's relationship? 2 Peter 3:15. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Peter later speaks of Paul as his beloved brother. And he speaks of his wisdom as well. This type of considerate and a humble temper, do you know what that will get you? That will always get you understanding. You know, nothing teaches like experience, and no experience is more useful, because none is so abasing as rebuke. Proverbs 1:5. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Don't you want that to be a description of yourself? To be a wise man? Because a wise man will hear, an unwise man will not hear. A wise man will increase in learning and an unwise man won't. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. You know, it's not just the young, but the wise that will get instruction. It's not just the young that need to hear the Word of God, but the wise. Truly a wise man is one not who has attained, but who knows that he has not attained, but is pressing on to have more understanding, to be instructed more. There is nothing better than to come in, to have our minds, as it were, just blown out of all the cobwebs and everything else, and to sit, as it were, just sit as a ready listener on that, in that pew, to hear the Word of God. Just intent upon everything that you're hearing, and to receive it in, and to accept it, and then go out, as we've already looked, with an obedient ear. Proverbs 9:9. Proverbs 9:9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. That's how we want to be. That's the description that we want to be of ourselves. Teachableness. Teachableness, spiritual receptivity. Two things happen there. To wisely give, to humbly receive. To wisely give and to humbly receive. And reproofs, all of this requires much prayer, self-denial, love, and sincerity. Proverbs 27:6. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know, there's going to be times. We have our friends. We have our brothers. There's going to be times when you're going to be wounded by a faithful friend. And that's what that is. Those are faithful wounds when it is given in that way. It's going to be something, it's going to be a wound that you want to have, that you want to receive, that you need to receive. Proverbs 12, verse 1. Do the Proverbs have a lot to say about this? They sure do. Proverbs 12, 1. Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. So in other words, again, you have the contrast. One that loves instruction, one that loves knowledge. And the contrast of that is one that hateth reproof, and that person is gross and brutish. It is a course of life that is needful to be on, and yet is so contrary to our proud hearts. And what is implied here is discipline. And as our brother Bridges says, a faithful ministry, therefore, is a most valuable blessing, and all instructive discipline may well be loved as the way of life. And he starts that off with a faithful ministry. That's what a faithful ministry is. It is not just to stand up here and tell you how wonderful you are. Because in actuality, you aren't. And I'm not. We are a bundle of sin. We'll go out of here, and before we hit that back door, in some way, we will sin. It's something that we need. It is discipline. It is instructive discipline. Proverbs 9:8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Hopefully, we are of the wise, and not as the fool. Hopefully, we want to receive instruction. And as we come in and we sit under the preaching of the Word, and then as we go out as an obedient hearer of the Word, as we do that, we are receiving instruction. And then we come again and we receive more instruction. And then we go out and we seek to have our lives brought into conformity to the Word of God. But it's when we don't do that, then someone is going to have to come to us, and it's going to be more severe. It's not going to just come from behind the pulpit as the preaching of the Word. Then someone is going to recognize a defect in our life or something that where we are going astray, and they'll deal with us. Is that a bad thing? That's a good thing. How many members have you heard stand up here and answer the questions for membership? To heed its discipline. Isn't it an easy thing when we do that? When we hear those words on that day? Will you do that? Has anyone ever said, I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that. I remember to this very day when we were getting ready to be received into membership. Our daughter was just a baby at that time. And on a Sabbath afternoon, Pastor had me come down to Hiram's home, who lived right down the street from us. And they asked us, or at that time it was just me there, asked me if I would be willing at that time, if my daughter were found to be delinquent in some area, and they had to deal with her, would I be willing to agree to that and accept that? And I thought at that time, this is a silly question. Of course I would. But then as parents, as we all know, as our children grow up and get older, then it becomes a little more difficult, doesn't it? But it may be a little more difficult, but it's not any less the right thing to do. Because we don't need to shy away from things just because they're difficult. Life is full of difficulties. It's not like the movies. The good guy doesn't always get the girl. So in the difficulties of life, all we need to ask ourselves is what I'm doing according to the Word of God? And if it's not, I need what action needs to be taken? I don't need to go off in a huff. I need to... The problem at that point is not with the person. It's with me. I need to bring my life into conformity. Into conformity to the Word of God. And that, first of all, requires that I see that my life is not in conformity to the Word of God, or this person wouldn't be coming to me in the first place. And that's what we see with the psalmist here, and with the writer to the Proverbs, who has written so much about this. So shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, we have looked at the ear and how we receive the Word of God and how we receive instruction, whether it comes from behind the pulpit or whether it comes face to face as Paul spoke to Peter. And our responsibility to hear the Word of God. And when we hear it with an obedient ear, we are described as one that is wise, one that loves instruction. Lord, may that be that which characterizes our lives. So we thank you, Lord, for your precious, precious word. In Jesus' name, amen.